When my children were growing up, one of the favorite books that they liked for me to read to them at bedtime was Peace at Last by Jill Murphy. Do any of you read that to your children along the way? It's a story of Mr. Bear, who had a hard time falling asleep because of all the noise and distractions that were taking place in his home. Mrs. Bear was snoring and the clock was ticking, and no matter how hard he tried to fall asleep, he just couldn't do it. Finally, he went to his car, and he was able to fall asleep then for a little while, only to be awakened by a chorus of birds that were singing when the sun began to rise. And then finally, he went back to his own bed and was able to sleep a little bit longer when he was awakened by his alarm clock. Sometimes it's hard to find peace enough in this world in order to sleep. That was true for Mr. Bear, and I suspect it's true for you and me from time to time as well. What is keeping you awake at night? What is driving you to your knees during the day? There's a lot to be anxious about at this time. It's a crazy virus, worry for our kids, their education, this lost year of learning, the polarization in Washington, generational poverty, racial and social unrest, climate change, the national debt, the list goes on and on, doesn't it? Where can we find the kind of peace that Jesus talked about to his disciples here in this passage? And how do we tap into the peace that Jesus offered when we live in such an age of anxiety? That's what I want to talk about with you here this morning. The three things I want to highlight in particular. I want to talk about our struggle or our lack of peace and our struggle with anxiety. Secondly, I want to talk about Jesus' gift of peace. And then finally, how can you and I experience the peace of Christ in our day? First, our lack of peace. People are very anxious these days, and I think all of us battle anxiety from time to time to some extent. This is especially true for young people, and I want you to see a brief video I came across that captures the struggle with anxiety that many teenagers are experiencing today.
I'm like, calm down, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. And then you just keep saying that faster and faster.
It gave me a lot of anxiety not knowing, like, what to even do in high school.
Accumulates, you know, just stress, stress, stress.
The overall pressure to do very well in a lot of different categories.
Homework, you know, making friends.
Relationships with parents.
You want to have this certain body, or you want to have this certain amount of money.
Everyone's looking at you. And no one's gonna like you because you're freaking out.
Oh, I actually feel the same way.
Can you relate? Teenagers aren't the only ones who struggle with anxiety. I think all of us do. In his book, The Second Mountain, New York Times columnist David Brooks cites some alarming statistics that talk about this. For example, 35% of Americans who are over 45 are chronically lonely. In the past 20 years, the suicide rate in the United States has risen by 30%, and the rate among young people between the ages of 10 and 17 has risen 70%. Opioids kill another 70,000 people every year in this country, and the lifespan of the average American has dropped for the third year in a row. And the last time this happened was back in 1918. Remember what was going on then? And these statistics were all before COVID-19. They've only been magnified even more during this pandemic. Last summer, the FDA said that the manufacturer of the antidepressant Zoloft could not keep up with the demand. Everyone was trying to find ways to numb the pain of isolation. No wonder we lack peace. Whether mild, moderate, or severe, anxiety is a struggle that many of us know well. And perhaps feelings of anxiety are things that you're battling with right now. Perhaps you're anxious about an upcoming exam as the school term is coming to a close. Or maybe you're anxious about a medical test the doctor wants you to have. Or maybe you're anxious about a job interview that you're going to be having in the coming week. Maybe you're anxious about your kids going off to college, or you're worried about the person that they're dating, or maybe you're anxious about money and you wonder how you're going to pay the bills. At its core, anxiety is fear. It's a sense of worry or tension about what is happening or what might happen. But it's a fear that usually doesn't help. The word worry comes from the Greek word Worgen, which means to choke. Worry can choke the life out of us, and it can rob us of our confidence. Have you ever heard someone say that a basketball player choked when he missed making the free throw shot at the end of a game to win it? The player was worried about missing the shot, and his fear contributed to his inability to succeed. Corrie ten Boom once said, "Worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around the center, or a center of fear. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength." How is anxiety gripping your heart these days? How is it impacting you? What are you anxious about? And where do you need to find peace today? The good news of this passage is that Jesus offers us his peace. It's actually a gift that he wants to give you if you're open to receiving it. And that leads to the second thing I want to talk about this morning, Jesus' gift of peace. In John 14, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Now, true peace begins with a person. And the key to experiencing the peace Jesus offers is to go to the source of peace, the Prince of Peace himself. Now, let me be clear. In the Bible, the word peace means far more than a cozy feeling that you get by sitting by a fire with a loved one next to you, listening to your favorite song streaming in the background. No, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, and it conveys the idea of wholeness, a world that is rightly ordered, and the healing of everything that is broken and incomplete in this world. The peace that Jesus offers his disciples is, first of all, a reconciled relationship with God, which he accomplished through his sacrifice on the cross. And the Bible says that while we were yet sinners and enemies with God, at war with him in our hearts and bent on rebellion, Jesus died for us in order to restore all the brokenness that we experience in our relationship with God. The peace Jesus offers also includes a reconciled relationship with ourselves, and we no longer have to beat ourselves up for the ways in which we have failed or messed up in life, and we can find healing for the emotional and the psychological fractures that we experience over the course of our lives. And the peace that Jesus offers also makes it possible for us to experience peace with one another. And the enmity and strife that mark our relationships can be healed when we bring those conflicts to the throne of God's grace and seek his help together. In the power of God's Spirit, we can actually overcome years of bitterness and pain and experience reconciliation. Forgiveness is possible, and relationships can begin again when people follow the Prince of Peace together. You see, the gospel refuses to be reduced to the sentimentality and the saccharine sweet serenity of a false and temporary sense of peace. The peace that Jesus promised is far deeper, more profound than that. He came to deal with our lack of peace by laying aside his glory in order to enter into our pain and enter into our suffering and also to save us. And he came to restore our broken relationship with God, and also to equip us to live in that uncozy tension of the already and not yet of his kingdom in this world. And that kind of peace is different from the peace that the world offers. It's a peace that can rule in our hearts despite our circumstances, and it has the capacity to transform us regardless of what is happening around us and in us and to us in the world. It is deeper than emotion. It's deeper than a good feeling about things. Rather, it's an experience of the peace, Prince of Peace, deep in one's soul. The late philosopher and Christian writer Dallas Willard pointed out that it's important to distinguish in our minds the difference between the feeling of peace and being a peace-filled person. The famous rock band, the Eagles, made a famous song, that talked about an easy, peaceful feeling. That's a temporary emotion. That's smooth and easy, but it's not the kind of peace that Jesus was talking about here in John 14 to his disciples. Instead, Dallas said that the peace that Jesus offers is a condition of the heart which has an orientation that anchors the soul in one's life in Jesus Christ. It's the kind of peace that can help a person weather the storms of life. And Jesus' peace somehow enables us to navigate the challenges with confidence and poise. Many people in the world chase after a feeling of peace rather than do the hard work that will help them grow into becoming a person of peace that Dallas talks about. And many times we make an idol of that easy, peaceful feeling rather than pursuing the condition of being anchored in Christ in your heart. People chase after the momentary feeling of peace through work or accumulation of things, making more money. They do it through alcohol and drugs and sex and pornography and all kinds of destructive behaviors that ultimately wreck our ability to become a truly peace-filled person. Jesus suggested a different way to pursue peace, and it begins with Him. Well, how do you and I become truly a peace-filled person? How do we experience the peace that Jesus offers? Well, that's the third thing I want to talk about this morning. There are four things I would suggest to you about how you and I can experience the peace that Jesus referenced here and become a peace-filled person. First, we need to understand that it starts with abiding in Christ. And you recall that last week when I talked about the fruit of the Spirit, joy, we looked at John chapter 15 where Jesus used a metaphor to talk about the vine and the branches. And he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can't do anything. Experiencing the peace of Jesus begins with abiding in Christ. And there is no way that you're going to become a peace-filled person if you don't spend time walking with Jesus. It's just that simple. The second thing I want to say about how to experience the peace of Jesus is to share with you something that Dallas Willard said about it. He said that the secret to experiencing the kind of peace which can anchor the soul and enable you to navigate the storms of life in a peace-filled state is to abandon outcomes to God. Now, that doesn't mean that we abandon effort or resolve or hard work or determination. Rather, it means that when we have done all that we can, when we have acted with integrity, when we've prayed faithfully and boldly, then we leave the outcomes to God. Another word for this in the Bible is the word surrender. As followers of Jesus, we come to a place where we realize that we don't have to make things happen. We don't have to make other people do what we want them to do. We don't have to manage our image. Instead, we are free now to surrender and to abandon our outcomes to God. And we begin to trust that, as the Bible says, God is at work both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. And this will free us to experience God's peace. Whenever you're at the airport and there's a flight delay, you can tell pretty quickly the people who have abandoned outcomes to God and those who haven't. There are varying degrees of how people respond to those kinds of crises. Some lash out in anger and they shout, "That's not fair. I demand. I have to be on this flight." It's in moments like that that we're reminded that we're not in control of this world. However, there is a life of peace that we can experience when things happen that don't go as we had planned. And God can give you the ability to help you rise above your circumstances. It's a life that abides in Christ, remains in Him, where you don't have to be responsible any longer for the outcome of what happens. You can surrender it to Him. And if we miss that flight and we have to reschedule, then we're just going to have to trust that God has another plan and that we didn't need to be on that plane after all. You know, one of the most frequent promises in the Bible is, I will be with you. No matter what happens in your life, God is going to be with you. He promises. Do you believe that? He will be with you during whatever difficult trial you have to face in the coming week, and He will be with you in whatever difficult circumstance or adverse situation you find yourself in right now. Jesus says, I will be with you. You can count on it. What situation are you facing today? Where do you feel out of control? And how is God asking you to trust Him with it? Can you look to Jesus and surrender the outcome to Christ? It is a key to experiencing the peace that Jesus promised. There's a third thing that I would say that is a key to peace, and that is contentment, learning the art of contentment. The Apostle Paul wrote about how to deal with anxiety, and he said that he had learned to be content in whatever circumstance he found himself in, whether in plenty or in want, whether in great situations or bad situations, he was content in Christ. Amber talked about this in her children's sermon. She read that passage from Philippians 4. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How is God calling you to pursue contentment today? Where have you been restless and anxious and discontent with your life situation? How are you frenetic and trying to acquire more and more instead of being content with what you have? How does God want you to look to Him to give you peace and be more content? There's a fourth and final thing I want to mention about how we can experience the peace of Jesus, and it is this: to become a peacemaker yourself. In the Sermon on the Mount, you remember that Jesus didn't say, blessed are the peace lovers. No. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. And making peace is actually hard work, but it is key to becoming the kind of peace-filled person that Jesus talked about in Scripture. Being a peacemaker means being a person who seeks the shalom of God for everyone in the world. It means being willing to lean into conflict, lean into pain and to problems, and to not skirt them, and to work to bring healing and wholeness to all the broken things that exist in the world, broken relationships, broken people, broken promises, and even broken systems. And every time that we work to experience God's transforming work and help people come to God and experience that for themselves, then we join with Him in a missional way, and shalom is established in that little corner of the world, and the kingdom of heaven is ushered in just a little bit more in this world. Will you be a peacemaker for God? St. Francis, the Bishop of Sales, once noticed a custom in a country district in which he lived, and he noticed that when a farm girl would go out to draw water from the well, that she would always put a piece of wood in the pail before she began to carry it away. One day he went out to ask her why she did that. And she looked at him a bit surprised and some wonderment and answered matter-of-factly, well, it's to keep the water from spilling. It is to keep the pail steady. Later on, Francis wrote to a friend about the incident, and he added, so when your heart is distressed and agitated, put the cross of Jesus Christ in its center, and it will keep you steady. In every time of storm and stress, the presence of Jesus and His cross can bring peace, serenity, and calm. As we close this morning, I would like to give you two suggestions for a practice which includes a prayer. And we're doing that every week. We're offering you a practice and a prayer for you to work the fruit of the Spirit into your life in an intentional way in the coming week. And as you seek to become a person who is peace-filled by the Holy Spirit and to bear greater fruit, this is something you can consider. The first practice I would recommend is to begin every day by praying these words: Lord Jesus, I surrender this day to your care, and I abandon all outcomes to you. Help me experience your peace today, no matter what happens, and help me trust you with my life and with everyone I know and love. Amen. We're going to post this prayer and the next one I'm going to share with you, which we'll pray together, on the church's website. That's the second practice that I would recommend, is for you to close your day by praying a prayer that is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. And it's a powerful guide for people who want to become peacemakers. And as we close this morning, I would like for us to pray it together, and I encourage you to make it the way in which you end your day every single day this coming week. Let us pray. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Let's say it together. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.